on fruit and seed set in North American pawpaw. And that is by, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing, is Shijana Tirzana Tapa Magar from Kentucky State University.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Rizana Thapamagar. I'm from Kentucky State University, and I'll be presenting on self-compatibility in North American pawpaw and its impact on fruit and seed set. First of all, pawpaw, it's Acemina trilova, and it's the largest tree fruit native to North America. A lot of us still don't know about pawpaw, so it's also referred to as America's forgotten fruit. This belongs to the family Annonaceae, and the interesting fact about it is it's the only temperate member of this tropical family. This species is indigenous to 26 different states. In the eastern United States, the fruit does look like mango, and it also has the combined flavor of mango, banana, and pineapple. It has high nutritional value. Some studies have reported that it has double the amount of vitamin A and vitamin C compared to apples, peaches, and grapes. And it also contains a lot of micronutrients as magnesium, calcium, phosphorus, and all. The other interesting thing about pawpaw is not only the fruits, but the leaves, twigs, and barks. They contain high amount of annonaceous acetogenins that are both health beneficial and also have the potential as the botanical pesticide as well. Currently, pawpaw is at its early stage of commercial production and has been promoted as an alternative niche crop to small farms as well as tobacco growers in Kentucky. So far, Kentucky State University has the only full-time pawpaw research program in the world and has been doing a lot of research programs in various aspects to promote this fruit. Talking about the fresh market option for pawpaw, it's for now just limited to the fresh market, to the farmer's market, because of its short shelf life, which is about 3 to 4 days at normal temperature, at normal room temperature. But then again, it creates opportunity to go on to the value-added products, such as pawpaw ice cream, pawpaw cake, lots of jams and jellies, pawpaw beers, and more. Not only the pawpaw fruit, but there's a high scope for the pawpaw seedlings, especially the grafted ones, as well as the pawpaw seeds. You can find it in the nurseries, as well as the seed companies. So pawpaw flowers, they usually tend to bloom from mid-April to May. And that's what they look like when they have when they start flowering. And at the closer look, they are the maroon odorless flowers, and they have both the female and male reproductive part in the same flower. However, the female part, that stigma, it gets receptive before the pollen sets, which it promotes cross-pollination in pawpaw. And unlike other flowers, flies and beetles are the major pollinators in pawpaw. Well, pawpaw is thought to be self-incompatible, and a lot of literature mention that pawpaw must cross-pollinate, but there are some growers who have claimed that sunflower is self-compatible, but there hasn't been any study done so far to prove if it's self-compatible or not. Talking about this particular tree in the picture, it's the single pawpaw tree in Frankfurt Cemetery with no other pawpaw trees in the surrounding. But every year when we go and check that, there will be tiny fruit, tiny pawpaw fruit. So how did this happen? Because there's no other pawpaw trees to pollinate this if it was supposed to be cross-pollinated. So in order to answer those questions, we did start our research to determine self-compatibility in pawpaw and to see if there's any impact if it's self-compatible. So our research site is Kentucky State University's Harold R. Benson Research and Demonstration Farm, and that's the Highland Pawpaw Orchard where we have several pawpaw cultivars. So for our research, we selected two cultivars, Sunflower and Susquehanna. Both of these are the advanced selections and are highly recommended to the growers. And we started with the flower isolation in March 2016. We did it twice in 2016 and 2017. Well, we used the Tyvek bag to isolate the flowers in March. And after a week, when we went there and then checked on the flowers, all the flowers inside the bags were dead. It could probably be because of the weather, because it was too chilly and windy, so it could be the physical damage as well as the cold that killed our flowers. But luckily, pawpaw flowers tend to have extended bloom period for about 3 to 4 weeks, So luckily we got the second batch of 1,000 flowers that we hand pollinated, but this time these were the open pawpaw flowers. Our four treatments in our research were two of them were the selfing of sunflower and the selfing of Susquehanna, followed by the cross-pollination of sunflower to Susquehanna, where sunflower is the mother tree and Susquehanna is the one from where we got the pollens to pollinate our flowers. And similarly, the cross-pollination of Susquehanna to sunflower. Well, the competitive flowers that were that bloomed after we hand-pollinated our flowers were pinched in May. And then we started taking data on the fruit and cluster. We did it twice, starting from May to August in both the years. And in the pictures, you can clearly see we do have the tendency to have a lot of fruit and cluster drop, especially during the June time. So there's a lot of June drop in case of pawpaw. Then we started our harvesting in August in both the years. And as soon as they were harvested, we took them to the lab and extracted the seeds. We started taking data on the number of seeds per fruit as well as the weight of seeds per fruit. And then they were mixed up with the wet peat moss and then stratified at 4 degrees centigrade for at least 110 days. That's the chilling requirement for pawpaw seeds. We then put all the seeds in the growth chamber at first to induce the germination at 21 degrees centigrade. But unfortunately, the germination was so poor that we had to redo with the remaining seeds in the greenhouse. And this time we did have satisfactory germination. This is from the second batch that was the seeds from 2017 that just germinated in July this year. And after they reached to the 3 to 5 leaf stage, we did collect the leaf samples from them for the DNA extraction and to go to the DNA fingerprinting part so that we could confirm the parentage of our offsprings. For the polymerase chain reaction, we used three different primers of locus PP, B3, B103, and G124. Whose allele size were already determined for the reference. We used the thermal cycler for the PCR. And for the DNA fingerprinting, we did use 3500 genetic analyzer. And to score the data, we used GeneMapper software version 4.1. The data that we obtained from them were then analyzed using CoStat software, where data were subjected to analysis of variants at the significance level of P less than 0.05. And here are our results. So first, the pollination success rate, that's the percentage of flowers producing cluster data in 2016. Initially, the highest pollination success rate was observed in the selfing of both the Susquehanna and sunflower, but then there was a lot of drop of clusters, so which reduced it to 6% and 12%. So at the final time, that's in August, the pollination success rate was very low, which ranged from 5% to 16% in all our treatments. For the fruit set per cluster, the highest was observed in the selfing of Susquehanna. It was significantly higher than the selfing of sunflower as well as the cross-pollination of sunflower to Susquehanna. But eventually, when we look at the data in July and August, we didn't find any significant difference in terms of fruit set per cluster in 2016. The average number of seeds in our fruit ranged from 6 to 9, and the highest number of seeds were observed in sunflower compared to the Susquehanna fruit. The germination was satisfactory, and this is the result from the greenhouse, not the growth chamber. It ranged from 80 to 100, and the highest was observed in the cross-pollination of sunflower to Susquehanna. For the 2017 results, this time, the pollination success rate was initially seen higher in the cross-pollination side, but then again, there was the drop, and the final pollination success rate ranged from 4 to 18, which is close to 2016 results. For the fruit set per cluster, the cross-pollination of Susquehanna to sunflower seemed to have significantly higher fruit set per cluster compared to the self-pollination of Susquehanna in 2017. But then again, in July and August, we didn't find any significant difference in terms of fruit set. And this was similar to 2016 results. In 2017, we did take the percent seed data. And this time, too, sunflowers seem to have more seeds in the fruit than Susquehanna. So you can see the selfing of sunflower and the cross-pollination of sunflower to Susquehanna, they have almost a similar percentage data compared to the Susquehannas. Germination was satisfactory. This year, too, it ranged from 88 to 97.5%. And these are the results from the DNA fingerprinting results in 2016. Well, this time we were successful to get the offsprings from both the selfing of sunflower as well as the selfing of Susquehanna. So, yes, that means they both are self-fruitful from our research. And the interesting thing that we observed was in the selfing of Susquehanna, we did find 13.33% of the offsprings that belonged to the selfing of Susquehanna. But in the selfing of sunflower, we didn't find any offspring that belonged to that treatment. However, in the cross-pollination of sunflower to Susquehanna, we found 11.11% of offsprings that belonged to the sunflower selfing. So, yes, we did observe, but it was in a different treatment, though. In the graph, you can see clearly that even though we had the selfing, we did have the dominance of cross-pollination in our treatments. And besides that, we also observed unexpected cross that were neither from the sunflower nor the Susquehanna. And as I mentioned earlier, we had the open flowers when we did our pollination thing. And there was the orchard where we had different cultivars except besides sunflower and Susquehanna. So there might have been other pollens that did pollinate our flowers. So the unexpected cross that defines the other pollens that might have pollinated our flowers. So this chart is to compare the flowers producing cluster data before and after the DNA fingerprinting results. If you see the selfing of Susquehanna, that's the August data, 6%. We assume that 6% of flowers did pollinate to get the clusters in our first graph. But if you see the second graph, then out of 6% of those flowers, only 0.8% of flowers were able to give us the self offsprings, while 4.4% of them were as a result of the cross-pollination. So not all the 6% that we thought were actually the result of selfing were actually the self. It was just 0.8%, and it followed the similar patterns in other treatments as well. Well, this is the first study to test self-compatibility in pawpaw. And with our data, we have come across that both our sunflower and Susquehanna cultivars are self-fruitful. In the comparison, compared to sunflower, Susquehanna seem to have higher percentages of self-pollinated offsprings. Although we did see the selfing, outcrossing, as well as the unexpected outcrossing, cross-pollination was dominant over the self-pollination in our research. So in conclusion, our data supports self-compatibility in sunflower and Susquehanna both through our DNA fingerprinting results. Although our data shows the cross-pollination of sunflower to Susquehanna has the highest cluster shape, highest yield, high germination, high percent seed, we didn't find any correlation between the self-compatibility and the fruit set or seed set. And with this, we could say our yield highly depends on the genetic material of the mother tree. And both our cultivars, sunflower and Susquehanna, they were the high-yielding varieties. So, and with our results, not only sunflower and Susquehanna were self-fruitful, but they also demonstrated a good pollinizer relationship between each other. And I think this part is not explored much, so in future we could explore about this side more so that it would help us to increase pollination success rate in pawpaw, thus increasing yield, and maybe we could go on the onto commercialization of pawpaw in future. This research was funded by USDA Evans Allen Grant, and I would like to thank all the people involved in this research. And thank you all for coming here and listening to me. Thank you. Any questions?
I think we have time for a quick question.